hey, everybody, are you fucking sick of me opening up every episode talking about why my audio in particular is messed up? Well, too fucking bad, because I just straight up deleted my audio before I edited this. That's right, there's no extenuating circumstances. There wasn't a weirdness in the recording I couldn't anticipate. There wasn't a power outage. I just wasn't paying attention and fucking deleted my audio. Everybody else sounds fine, but for my audio, I'm using the Zoom call. I can't recover the file because you know what? I never set up my file recovery. I googled how to recover files on Windows 10 and it said, that's easy. Just go to your fucking recovery center. I did, and you know what it said? It said, would you like to set up your recovery center? Because I've had this computer for 2 fucking years and I never did. So sorry, my audio might sound a little bad sometimes. Everybody else sounds fine, but mine might sound like shit sometimes. Sorry, everybody. Get ready. It's Casper Meets Wendy. I'm fucking sorry.
So I thought I'd start us off. I know it's not, we usually wait until we're in the discussion to get into this, but I found a pretty interesting tidbit about this movie from movietriviafact.com. I'm not gonna read the whole thing. It's called 10 Movie Trivia Facts You May Not Have Known About the Cast from Casper Meets Wendy. Let me just skip to the... Yeah. We are all love to watching movies. What you probably are, if you didn't know about this, was that even movies can be on video and other devices, such as the screen or else. Here's where it comes to what you may not have known, is that the three witches from Casper Meets Wendy can also are played by actors. I didn't know this. Kathy Moriarty isn't just Gert from Casper Meets Wendy, even though that's where she is in the hearts of everywhere. Yes, it's true. Otherwise, who could be around the movie Raging Bull, which is about a couple of nice men? You may recognize Terry Garr, not just from in When Casper Meets Wendy, she plays Fanny. She's also in roles. Shelley Duvall cannot just be Gabby. She cannot. We don't like to think about what if she was. Thankfully, you can find her in movies. So, yeah, that's pretty cool.
You answered so many questions I had right at the top of the episode. I don't even know what to talk
about.
You
have to use that for your initial audition into NYU, because you're going to get in. You're going to get in. The part was written for you, babe.
The only audition I've ever been to where everybody gave me a standing ovation afterwards.
The way that that person, I don't know if they're more intrigued that film is a thing, the phenomenon, or if there were people in the movie, just that anyone was in it. They're like, I can't believe they got actors for this one.
I think I wrote that as I was watching it, and it took about an hour of the film to get my brain to that point. This movie did something to the way I think and feel, in a good way.
Wait, you wrote that?
Oh, yeah, that was...
I thought that was a real view.
No. I thought you found that in the wild, and I was like, it is so sad that this is the last thing Roger Ebert ever wrote.
Yeah. He was like, 3.5. What's the temperature? I'm feeling incredible today. It's inexplicable. I was dancing down the street. It's a great day to watch Casper Meets Wendy. Turns out that your opinions about films have nothing to do with the quality of the film and everything to do with whether or not you are weaning off of medication. And we love it. I had a great time watching, like, the cutest mushroom trip I've ever seen. It was adorable. I cannot believe they hired a mouse on helium to play Wendy. Oh. Her voice is so high, it's crazy.
I love her.
How could that be? Why are you guys acting like I said something mean? I still love her. It's just her voice is crazy high.
Yeah,
it's
precious. We all took you saying like, wow, that 10-year-old's voice is pretty high. Like, hey, what the fuck?
I know. What the hell? Fucking said?
There's only one person who can go ham on child actors on this podcast.
I just couldn't tell if it was, like, the YouTube recording or if that was, like, the way her vocal cords like slapped together in her throat. So I don't know why this is coming across mean. I fucking love her.
She's so squeaky. She's, well, like, one of the things that is, like, charming and cute to me about this movie anyway is that, like, that's a baby. Like, yeah. that's a little six-year-old who has, like, started losing baby teeth. And maybe she's that's nine. Why I... That's wrong.
No, she that said it.
That can't be right. In the movie or in... I didn't today do any she's math nine. On. I didn't do any math on, like, how old Hilary Duff actually would have been when they filmed this. I just know that, like, energetically, that's a toddler. And maybe that's why it feels so weird to me that, like, everyone in this movie is trying to either marry her or obliterate her.
Yeah.
Like, that was really... I had a moment in this movie where I think one of my notes is, oh no, it's a romance. Where yeah. I was just like, I guess that's what, like, the Casper, I haven't seen Casper's Haunted Christmas or Casper's Scare School, but it really does seem to me that the core of this series is, it's a series about little girls being romanced by clip art. So that was a little unsavory, but, like,
that's actually so fucked up and accurate. What the hell?
Well, I think you're getting away. I mean, there's definitely that in the movie, but I think that most of it is about horny aunts and horny uncles.
100%.
It is a franchise about the siblings of your parents.
It's a series about being abused by drag queens. You know, I was like, fucking goals, dude.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Dead Horse. A podcast about movie franchises, the underseen, overextended, underdiscussed. And we have a very special guest yeah. with us, friend of the horses, Jenna Cray is here. Hello, hey. Jenna.
Hey!
She is the new horse.
Welcome.
I'm so welcome, and I'm so excited to mainly speak about Hilary Duff.
Yes. We need our resident HD expert up in here.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of not normal the way that I love her. I think a lot of people think that, like, I'm romantically interested in her because of how fierce the love is, right. But it's platonic. I don't know what she feels about me, right. But...
Would you say it's, like, a big sister admiration that you have? Or is it, like, a friend you don't have, but you do, and, like, you do?
Well, Becky, I don't have any sisters, so I don't know what that would feel like.
Okay, just, like, if you could imagine.
I feel like it was one of those things that, like, I want to be you.
Yeah,
it was just, like... Here is this, like, anxious, like, little girl. Well, she's not necessarily anxious in this one, mm-hmm. but I think of, obviously, Lizzie McGuire.
Of course.
And, like, here's this, like, kind of cute, like, girl that seems like she should be doing well, but for whatever reason just is not.
She should be thriving, right?
Yeah, and that deeply resonated with me.
You're like, I should be too. This is bullshit. Yeah.
Like, actually, I have all the tools, and yet...
Oh, that's incredible. I also really love Hilary Duff. I was definitely a Nickelodeon girl, but when I did watch Disney, I did enjoy Lizzie McGuire. I wouldn't say I was, like, a crazy fan. I will say that I foamed at the mouth, played until it was too scratched up, the Lizzie McGuire movie soundtrack CD.
It's one of the best soundtracks of all time.
I literally invented countless dances, wrote countless films in my head, mm-hmm. all in Italy, obviously, to the soundtrack. So that's
the only reason I want to go.
Yeah.
Hey now. This is what dreams are made of.
What if you don't find a twin when you get there? Are you going to be disappointed?
I will make someone be my twin in Italy.
I will make a twin.
It's so easy.
I will build a twin out of clay and write the Hebrew word for life on a slip of paper and put it under their tongue.
Jenna is really God. Good plan.
I think we all knew that.
Yeah, for sure.
But I'm sorry, I won't talk so much about Lizzie McGuire because we want to talk about Wendy. And you're right, she was 9. She wasn't a toddler. And yes, her voice, it was even higher than you would think a 9-year-old's
so
voice would be.
So high! Shockingly and, high.
And her laugh specifically feels like the fake laugh that they put in the background of any, like, situation where children are laughing. I'm like, that's where they got it. They got it from Hillary.
On repeat. On
like,
the
she's
cycle.
Like the stock sound for children laughing.
Yes. I thought a similar thing. I was just like, she's really serving this laugh she does not feel. Over and over, she's me in the open mic I was dragged to just being really generous.
Oh, yeah. God.
It's weird because she didn't seem upset when she was doing it. Like, there was no sadness behind the laugh, but there was also no joy.
Well, the dialogue, you know, centered on the page, it says, like, Wendy, and then there's a line that says, he 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 he.
Not ha ha. It's all he he's.
I've never seen a he he heavier movie.
More like a she they heavier movie. What's up? How we doing? What's up? What's going on?
Come on.
Let's go.
I'll say it. I was in love with all of her aunts.
Oh. Oh.
Why were their costumes so good?
Yeah, they were. They were good. It's hard for me to look at them three and not, think poor man's Hocus Pocus witches. Mm. However, they're looking...
Wait a fucking minute. Which one came out first?
Hocus Pocus
big
came
time
out in 93.
By like 5 years.
Yeah.
Well, witches have famously been written in threes for many, many moons. And
they didn't uncles. Invent the three. I'll say that. You're right.
I've never heard of three uncles, though.
Never heard of three uncles. This movie is bullshit.
They don't come in threes.
There would never be that many in the same place.
That's outrageous. Not allowed.
Can I tell you something? Okay. I guess I am allowed on a podcast to speak
you
to God, you.
That's the one thing you have to do.
What if every time I talk, I ask you guys if I can speak?
Again, yep.
We'll leave it up to a vote.
I didn't understand when I was younger that, like, the ghosts, the cartoon ghosts, were, like, modeled after the real actors playing them.
Are they?
Like... Yeah, like physically.
I don't know if they are, cuz I don't think those guys were the real actors.
No, wait, what? No. Wait, so when I'm actually really scared. No, so when they went to the dance and they took over those silly guys' bodies.
Yeah, I don't
wasn't
know
that just wasn't that just actually them?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think the voice actors
I'm
are all
so
different.
I'm so sorry, Jay.
The voice actors are other... No, this is... Let me do some, like, some ghostly trio history for you.
Save her.
Those characters were, like, made for, like, the 95 movie.
Yeah.
And then they got cheaper voice actors for this one. One of them is randomly Bill Farmer, the voice of Goofy, who I think is a right-winger, which feels right. And then those voice actors... do a scratch track that is like lip synced by Mad TV actors and the guy from Roadhouse and the gay neighbor from The Princess Diaries.
The Princess Diaries!
Who a producer's child told me I looked like on a movie set and I've never recovered from. So that's kind of what's going on with the uncles.
Well, I want you to know I've never had that thought about you and The Princess Diaries' gay neighbor.
Oh, stop.
If that makes you feel better. But I was overwhelmed to see him in his element alongside the Mad TV guy. I think I need to step away for a moment and let you all take over because I really was like, that's so creative because the actors were probably kind of sad that they never got to physically be in the movie. And they were probably so sad they were just doing voiceover and then they were probably so happy at the end of the movie when they got to physically do a bunch of physical comedy. But guess what? That got taken away from them and none of it was real, so fuck me.
I love that, like, that was soothing to you, though.
They are getting their moment to shine.
Yeah, for sure.
They are shining, though.
Yeah.
Like, those guys are working their asses off.
Honestly,
what is his name?
They killed it.
Patrick Richwood is Stinky, the guy who's, like, he's serving
Stinky
nostrils.
Stole the show.
Yes! I loved his nostrils.
So, Jay, big Q, what's your relationship with the movie? Like, did you grow up watching this?
Yes. I also grew up watching the Christina Ricci one.
Yeah.
But so these are like very like faint like memories that I have of that one, obviously, because I didn't connect who the fuck the ghosts were. But anything Hilary Duff I grew up with. But I really remember especially too the kid Justin from like the Power Rangers movie. There was just so many people in it that I was like, I love you. I love you. I know you from this. I love you. But he was so mean in it, though.
Yes.
But in general, any movie that was, like, kind of haunted and about a difficult little girl, that's definitely where I was.
I love that. That's your niche. That's your where you feel safe. Haunted little girl. Do you do well with possession movies, then?
Oh, I love them. Yeah, when I was 13, my favorite movie was The Exorcism of Emily Rose.
Yes, fuck, when you were 13, you're so brave and cool.
I have it on DVD still.
It's like a comfort food for you.
Yeah. I think at 13, I still had to sleep in my parents' bed because Blair Witch scared me so much. And I was like about to be in high school.
Well, I was allowed to watch Exorcism because I went to Catholic school K-8. And so, you know, I can't know about how my body is physically composed, but I can know about how the church does exorcisms.
That's just education. That's just an educational film your science teacher puts on. So
that's how, that's how I went down that road, naturally.
Showing you The Exorcism of Emily Rose is like a pro-Catholic movie. It's so funny.
No, but, like, did everyone go... I don't know how y'all were raised, but, like, when... what's the movie where Jesus was Mel Gibson?
The Passion of the Christ.
Passion of Christ. Yeah. Like, when Passion of Christ came out, like, all the moms, like, got together and, like, went to the movies. They were like, who's going to watch the kids? Like, we all have to go see Passion of Christ together.
They didn't take you?
No, they didn't.
We left a number for pizza and a DVD of The Exorcism of Emily Rose.
I think they wanted to see it first to see if we could take it. And then I never watched it because I felt like I had heard that story like a lot.
I know that one.
I was like, I'm actually like pretty familiar.
It's very cliched. It's like a buddy cop movie.
Yeah, I have a little booklet with little cartoons of when Jesus falls the first, second, third time. Like, I remember.
He falls?
He was tripping. He was really embarrassed.
Tripping all over the place.
He's tripping face, dude. Jesus is out of control.
Jesus is just clumsy.
Somebody get Jesus of Nazareth to the chill out tent. He's getting...
Jesus.
It's messy.
Sorry.
Oh my god, don't be sorry. You're perfect. So, when watching Casper with Wendy, like, when you're watching it, is it, like, the kind of thing where, like, you know every line, you know which part's coming up, or was it, like, a fresh viewing for you?
Oh, it was very fresh. I really didn't remember a lot, except for, like, very specific moments stuck out. Like,
same.
The first scene, honestly, is so enjoyable when they come down and, like, kind of fake us out. They're, like, we're aliens, and then all of a sudden they're like, actually we're ghosts, like, haha. and then the most important thing that happened was that the hot dogs fell out of his belly and onto everyone's heads.
I love describing that first scene as enjoyable. I was literally so fucking confused. I was like, what kind of film is this? One little girl looks back at the camera and she's like, not again. I'm like, when did this happen before?
They're back. You remember.
Oh, here's looking at a giant UFO and being like, that's three uncles. Like, I know this old one. So this movie, it was directed by the same fella who did Spirited Beginning, right?
Mm-hmm.
It retains that one's love of, like, introducing a ghost to do it, like, pulling their mouth apart and sticking their tongue out and going, wah! And having 100 people go, like, like bash their fucking heads into every structure possible as they run like no one outside of the Olympics has ever run before. they pretend they're, oh, I guess this is a good segue into trying to run down the plot. So we open in a baseball game where Stretch, Stinky, and Fatso all fucking decide to be aliens and just scare everyone at the baseball game. And then they're like, we're tired from doing that. Let's go to the Catskills. Meanwhile, a guy and his mirror, Pauly Shore, are witches. And this guy is mad that a child could be better than him. So he creates two Italian Americans out of the ether to chase down the child and her three aunts, who also are like, we gotta go to the Catskills. So the bulk of this movie is Wendy, the Hilary Duff child, and Casper getting into cute shenanigans. Occasionally cutting to this man. What is his name? Spellman.
Desmond Spellman.
Desmond Spellman and his little Twinkie mirror.
His little mystical sub.
Who always rhymed.
Oh, he sure does. There is some Pauly Shore rapping in this movie. Oh, right, yeah. They also try to shove the kid into hell at the end.
They don't the portal. Try. They tell us about the portal in like the first 10 minutes. They're like, hey, this girl is so powerful. You gotta put her in this big portal. She has got
to. You gotta
to
push
go.
Her into a screensaver. You just gotta do it.
And sorry for the spoilers. When she goes inside, it's fucking terrifying.
It holy is. Shit. I remember
like,
that.
I was like, what? When we got to the point where he's like zapping her with his powers and then zaps her in there, she's selling that scream. I'm like, let's get the child out of harm. Like that, my body went maternal. Like my, I like.
Really ancient instinct.
Yes,
I'm with you.
I couldn't handle it. And then,
we're
like,
trying
she's...
to get that child out of hell.
Surprise, I care. She's deep in the abyss, and I'm like, legitimately stressed after the funkiest little film ever. Really what this film taught me was I want to commit to one color in my wardrobe. And also, like, if you want a step sibling, you almost date them. Like, what are you guys doing?
It just is so upsetting because I feel like they could have just been allies. I feel like they both needed a friend, and I don't know why there's this thing that, like, every story has to be romantic, especially for children. I think it's so weird.
It's so
weird.
Inappropriate. It's so irksome. And it's not even just, like, all of the... Like the thread with Casper throughout, like, any comics or cartoons that I'm familiar with, and even, like, the last movie, is something very simple and approachable and kind of timeless, which is lonely kid needs a friend. And it's such an easy way to make Casper the floating, like, bad CGI bald boy, that crazy white boy. It is such an easy trick to make him unappealing, to have him, like, floating around, like, stuck to the lens because they can't make him look like he's in one place if the camera's moving, being like, hubba hubba. Like doesn't describe how I like
yeah.
what are some of the lines that he has? He was like, you can see me and I can sure see you.
What
and
part
I was like
that?
You didn't have to say that, like, that, you little pervert.
He does it so pervasively and so insistently that it really undermines what could have been, like, a very sweet movie
totally.
About a friendship, and instead I'm spending a whole movie being like, like, goddamn, dude, I wish you could die again. And, like, the most irksome thing was, Jenna, it sounds like you recognized the like, why won't you marry me kid from,
the
I guess
narc.
He was in the Power Rangers movie?
He was in the Power Rangers movie. Yeah, within the same year that was produced by, what are they called, Saban or whatever?
Saban Entertainment. Saban. Yeah, I guess they were just like, we gotta get this kid being, like, 8-year-old Biff from Back to the Future. This kid's got a future making people uncomfortable. It's so
consistently mean the whole time. I got really, really upset when she was at the arcade and she was like, hey, I just need someone to talk to. And he's like, yeah, I'm a quarter.
He literally turned in one motion. Like, she tapped his shoulder and he was like, oh, hey, you have a quarter? I was like, is that usually just one thought when you meet people?
He was only nice for 30 seconds when he first met her. It was so weird. But I would like that she was really mean to him. And mm-hmm. can I just say, in general, like, I love witchy stuff. I always have. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really, really weird how few movies there are about, like, the witch experience. Like, you really could only name probably, like, max, like, 10 movies about witches. And that's super weird, right? And I think what's interesting about this one is that, like, there's this old man who's, like, obsessed with power and, like, maintaining it. And here is this young person who is a threat to that power, and it's a young woman, and we don't know her potential. And I think that's such an interesting idea. And I think that's another reason it would have been so cool for her to find an ally in a person who is an other. Like these people who are like persecuted within their own environments. I mean, she's not respected by her aunts. He's like made fun of for being nice. Like, so I would love if this movie was just like totally revamped and redone, because I think witches in general, because it's so tied to the feminine experience and just being persecuted for being powerful. I just think it's such an interesting thing to explore, and it just kind of sucks when it falls short.
Ugh, so delish, John. That's such good shit. So true. I literally did not even pick up on the fact, like, I picked up on the fact that it's ridiculous, but I didn't pick up on the fact that it's accurate to reality, that it's like an older man in power trying to take away the budding Absolutely. Power of a young woman. It's like, oh, I guess that's the country.
Yeah, and then there are these women who are trying to protect her and trying to keep her safe, but really she's feeling absolutely like just trapped by their smothering and their way of care. And I think that's interesting, as like intergenerational trauma between like women. Like, I just think there's a lot of really interesting stuff there. And even some of the jokes, I think, like, it was kind of cool how many like throwaways there were. And I felt like they kind of like didn't care if we like thought the jokes were funny. They just like kept putting them out there, and I respect that.
Yeah. No, they churn them out. They don't give a fuck what we say.
This movie's got grind.
How many jokes per minute does Casper Meets Wendy have?
The ideas you're talking about, I also didn't pick up on them, but you're like so right. There is like actually a lot of interesting thematic stuff. And I think overall, just in terms of like the quality of the movie, this is a bit of a step up from Casper, A Spirited Beginning. But like most of the movie with all that going on is instead horny uncle stuff. Yeah. There's so much horny uncle stuff in this movie.
And it's weird. It's like The Parent Trap meets Romeo and Juliet. Like, our families hate each other. Let's get them together. Like, they'll never accept us. They should date. Like, wait, it's a bad solution.
In Fair Verona, where we lay our scene.
That's getting really good.
Idiot. I sent PJ a minute-long recording of me doing the coin toss scene from No Country for Old Men. Doing Anton Chigurh's
call it, friendo. You see the year on this coin?
Stop. Who would be cast in this in this movie? Who do you think out of us, like, who we would be in the movie? I think I obviously am Wendy. Get over it.
No, I saw it coming a mile away. I'll tell you that. I agree.
I would love to be an uncle, but I think based purely on head shape and texture, I have to be Casper.
I really would love to see you as an uncle.
Which uncle specifically, Dixon?
I would love to be Stretch or Stinky, maybe. I'd love to be Stretch.
What is the difference? I think you'd be Stretch. Persona, but don't worry about it.
Stretch and Stinky are the exact same person. One just has smell stuff going on. There's no differentiation other than one smell.
Stretch is more confident.
You know what I mean? You go to Stretch for advice.
He's a Leo.
Oh my god, such a Leo.
Such a Leo.
I was also gonna say, I think I would be Stinky.
PJ, you're the one with the bangs that go like this. Mm-hmm. The witch.
I was gonna say, I would be the Kathy Moriarty witch. I'm like chain smoking, abusing a child, and I have a really unconvincing wig. I think that's kind of where I fit in.
I loved her wig. Honestly, I wish more people would do that whole V moment. And when she was talking about how if she didn't have like her magic that she couldn't do her algebras, I was like, you're my favorite one. Why are you doing algebras? I don't know why you're doing it, but I like that you are.
I have something that stood out to me, which is with this one, you have Kathy Moriarty, who is like the capital V villain of the 95 movie, coming back to the cast for this one to play the witch. You have Pauly Shore, who's like briefly in Spirited Beginning, coming back into a new role. Ben Stein is in all three of them. There's other people. Casper Van Dien is randomly in this one and Spirited Beginning. There's a weird little awkward Starship Troopers reference where the witches are hitting on him and he goes, I need to go kill bugs, and he runs out of frame.
Oh my god, wait, that's but I love that random. I love that whole sequence until it got like actually worrisome, but it was so funny up until then.
Why is there a repertory Casper crew? Why are there people who are like, you know, I have a little time off. I just want to do a movie about a Uncanny Valley cartoon trying to fuck. How do I fill my time with that?
Yeah, that's a good point. Maybe the set was just really fun.
Michael McDonald coming back? Yeah, maybe he loves working with Sean McNamara.
I was thinking, are they worried about being good when they're doing a movie like this? Are they like, oh man, like I didn't fucking nail that joke, like when they cut? Or are they like, dude, this is so stupid, I'm getting paid, and like these jokes are shit, and like at least I get to hang, and like maybe Crafty's okay?
Yeah, I think it's gotta be that. Like it has to be. I can't imagine.
Is it like more fun because there's no pressure? I'm like, I feel like that could be the possibility. That's something I feel like I've learned, like doing a lot of work, is I'm like, if I'm doing something that almost costs me nothing and there's nothing at stake, I'm like, there's so much joy in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what makes this movie so watchable too, is that energy you're describing, I feel like is very much apparent, especially like in the witches and the uncles. Like it just feels really fun, and particularly there's a lot of chemistry in this one that I feel like the last one was lacking, maybe. Because the stakes are crazy low. We described the last movie as like it really felt like a computer game rather than a movie. Like it was very low, like a low tier. This feels more like a motion picture, but one where like who will watch it? Well, maybe some people pushing 30 in like 20 years.
That's one thing that I didn't quite understand. I was like, who did they make the Christina Ricci one for? Because that shit kind of felt like indie. And then this kind of felt like they're like, we're going to make this one for the babies. But the babies who are thinking about like dating.
I know. That's what made it so weird. Like it really is a baby dating movie. And it's just like, hey, let's just wait, right?
Yeah, it's about babies dating, like the spirits of children wronged by Industrial Revolution medicine.
Also, he was like a tween or teen in Casper, like the original.
He's like 12, like, right?
You remember when that kid got all the ketchup on him and then he jumped on that naked lady?
Yeah, what the fuck was that about?
He had to do that in real life. You ever think about that when you watch a movie? You're like, this is a movie, it's not real, but someone really had to do that. That thing that I'm seeing, there's a woman who had to lay there and get covered in ketchup by like a 9-year-old's body. That's so not normal.
Yeah, it's fucking weird.
And the actor who plays, I guess, who's supposed to be the like mostly naked lady's like husband is immediately like, get the fuck off her, and picks up the child and throws him into a pool, which also is like, I don't know that that's how many would react in this scenario.
I'm getting cucked by an 8-year-old. Let me hurl this kid into a body of water. Yeah, after like a gag where he like stumbles into like falling onto some lady's chest. It's very weird. It's very weird that Joss Whedon did a punch-up of this movie. Like, very, very uncomfortable.
Yeah, no, I always thought it was kind of good that he got thrown in the pool, though, so he could watch the ketchup off.
It's really jokes on the guy.
Yeah. Actually, I think that's what he wanted.
Saying you've always thought that is so funny.
Every day I wake up.
Fan theories. You know, I think it's actually good that King got thrown in the pool.
What if he got sticky?
Do they have to clean the pool after? No. Like the lifeguards? Do they have to shock it?
They just rock with it, ketchup.
There's not supposed to be any food on the pool deck.
That's true. Knowing the rules of the pool?
I actually visited that pool and I checked.
Super fan? Did it live up?
Excuse me.
It was definitely ranked as the grimiest pool in the Grimmest Book of World Records.
Shut up! Okay.
I love the Guinness Book of World Records. I need to charge my laptop.
I'm obsessed with you. Do you understand that?
That reminds me of a time that I said in earnest, I love novels. Like, just a large, like, group of things, you know? I mean, Jenna, it's so good that you're here.
I love you.
I have an actual redirect, and it is this. Mm. I really like that this movie was about Casper standing up to his uncles, because I've added up to here with his little coward ass. Like, he's had like centuries to fucking there are no repercussions. He can't die, and I'm not certain he can hurt, but he like won't stick up to that. And there was like one point where I'm like, Jesus, fucking stand up straight, you know? Like, I was thinking that, and then Wendy was like, or no, and then Casper was like, man, I wish I could stand up to them. And I was like, yeah, me too, like, welcome to the club. And so I like that was finally a theme, because I don't like the real theme of the movie, which is I'm gonna kiss this girl. I hate it. So I'm reframing, and I like that it's all about and only about standing up to his abusive cigar-smoking uncles.
I don't think it's ever made clear what killed Fatso, Stretch, and Stinky. I have to assume it was like a public execution.
I feel like it's probably something very poetic, like they all died of their vices, and that's how they got those nicknames.
Yeah. They like
Stinky sniffed something, and that was it.
They had gambling debts.
I tried to desert from France in World War I, and they put me against the wall.
No, I was just picturing Stinky at the beginning of Midsommar.
Why would you do that?
Because he died of a bat.
Why would you think about that?
Because he would have died from a bad smell.
Oh. Florence Pugh calling her boyfriend. I've just been getting these really weird texts from Stinky.
And it's all all about getting over stinky.
This is it, bone bag.
The only way that I will ever act again is if there is a character named Stinky in the script.
There's no other path for you. You're hopeless.
Yeah. If it, I'm sorry. I have to draw a line. I have to have some boundaries. It's
go
the only
off.
Way I can work. I'm inspired.
We went to school with Jenna, and Becky and I were a year ahead. And I thought it was so, I heard about this because we weren't in the same classes as you, but I thought it was really weird during that like typing exercise where everybody got like types, your type was Stinky. I thought it was so weird that the class gave you the Stinky type.
Because I don't know if Jenna at that point had accepted her type, so it was like sort of like harmful that like it was, she was told to her before she had like come to it on her own.
Why did I think that Dixon was gonna tell the truth instead of a joke? Because the truth is that the number one word was bitch.
No!
I'm not kidding. I promise you, the number one word was bitch.
Theater school is...
It's really healthy and it helps you become a better actor.
Christ. What the fuck? I did not know that. I'm so sorry to have invoked that memory.
No, I've talked about it on TikTok because I think it's so crazy. And then there's one person who was really mad at me and they were the only one who said that I was like, I think the word, it wasn't slut. It was like something like that. But I knew because I knew what color pen they used and I was like,
got him.
You call me a slut.
Don't you feel like it's useful though that like you use that exercise and it helped you book that Spielberg film like right afterwards?
Don't you feel like it's useful to know that you're a slut, Jenna?
Like I feel like it helps when you got that big huge role. I love our country. Yeah, we
I knew
have
I shouldn't have used that purple milky pen that day. Regret of my life.
That's why this is my first time on the pod. It took some time for me to come to terms.
Completely fair. We love that you're reclaiming Stinky. listen.
Mine would be Slutty.
Your uncle?
Your uncle Slutty. Uncle Slutty.
Honestly, that should be their names. Fuck. They are.
The way Stretch is looking at her, sluttiest thing a ghost uncle can do, goddamn.
Effects.
But it is weird that, like, Casper did not try to break off of them because witches famously have covens, right? And, like, they you try to stick with your coven, but, like, stuff goes wrong. Like, we've all seen American Horror Story. And I just don't know how ghosts work.
Witches always have their cousins and ghosts always have their uncles.
Obviously. Like, duh.
Yeah, it's actually, they misspelled the word coven a bunch of times. It's just, it's supposed to have been cousins.
That's why she, like...
Witches historically have a lot of cousins they hang out with.
It's kind of one of those things where, like, an old piece of paper will say congrats, but it's supposed to say congrats.
Yes.
I mean, this movie is right about how funny uncles are. I don't, everything I've said about uncles, I've just been in my head like, tee-hee. I've been like, hee-hee-hee.
Yeah, it's like nothing they say is funny, but they're the funniest people, like, somehow, you know? Like, even though, like, their jokes that they said, they're not usually funny. When you leave the situation, you're like, being around them is very funny, you know? Like, that's how I feel like all my experience with every uncle is.
Yeah. No, that's actually, that's a great way to put uncles.
Yeah. And I'm not trying to, you know, like, I don't want to stereotype, but all uncles aren't funny unless I leave the room and remember them.
It's like the idea of them. Yeah. You know
what I
mean?
I don't
want to
make you all feel bad, but my Uncle Jim is really funny.
You're totally blowing my theory.
He used to lie to my brother all the time and say that he owned the Philadelphia Eagles.
Hell yes. Oh my
that's
god.
That's not really a joke, but it is funny.
That's
he's a
simply
total stretch.
A lie.
He is. Just, that is such a stretch move.
I own the Philadelphia Eagles.
Your brother's like, Okay. Like, believes it for years.
Well, my brother literally lives in Philadelphia now.
Oh, shit.
He still believes it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's actually so honestly sad. Don't let him listen to this.
Don't let him listen to this episode.
Can we talk about how Casper absolutely blew it with Wendy also? Can we just talk about how, like, Casper, all Casper had to do was be like, these witches are very powerful. We should leave them alone. And so he's like, oh, whoops. And he trips and he goes, they don't have powers. And you're just like, yeah, like, you are a bad friend. Like, if you can't keep that most precious information away from, at this point in the story, the ghostly uncles figured out that they were witches after a night of, like, both thinking that they were someone else, and the uncles and the witches were almost, like, dating for, like, this beautiful hour. And then after they discovered that they were witches, they were, like, disgusted, and then they, like, ran away because they were scared of the witches, and then they found out that the witches didn't have powers, and then they went to, like, completely harass them. And Wendy was furious, rightfully, with Casper. Like, that's just a shitty friend mood. And I appreciated how she was, like, really upfront with him and, like, defended her family. Because, like, I get he didn't mean to, but, like, come on.
Yeah, but, like, this is the exact situation that, like, hey, keep this a secret was designed for, you know? Like, it's the easiest move in the world to just, like, hey, if this thing comes up, don't say this. And he's just like,
I don't know. Little kids do be saying shit.
But, Casper is, he did die at a specific age, but his ghost boy is ageless. So I can never tell, like, what lessons he has gleaned, like, meaning from, and what he has completely forgotten out of naivety, because he's both 15 and 9, so, like, I never know if he's going to, like, help me with my algebra, or if he's going to, like, fucking need help with blocks. Like, he's
just... Casper is, like, useless in this movie. He's the fucking worst. This is a real low point for our favorite white boy. My most notable memory of, like, turning on Casper in this movie, where I'm like, I'm not cool with you anymore, little dude. You're busted. Was, like, there's that moment at the beginning
where you just absolutely busted.
You're busted, dog. There's the moment at the beginning where, like, that's not funny.
Tell me more.
I'm trying. So, like, the movie opens. We get a nice, wonderful 12-minute credit sequence.
Oh my god, it was so good.
It was. I wish it'd been longer. And we open up as Dixon was mentioning, on a baseball game. Alan Thicke is the baseball announcer, and a UFO begins to descend in a Close Encounters riff, as if to say, "Hey, remember when Steven Spielberg cared about this?" Remember when he was involved? Fuck you, Steven. They land, a ghost, or I'm sorry, an alien emerges, turns into Fatso, he farts really hard, a sign, like, blows up and there's sparks, and I'm cheering and, like, swinging my shirt around and, like, letting off an air horn in my living room, and my roommate's like, please move out. The ghosts are scaring all of these people and blowing their mind with, like, what is the afterlife? They're poltergeists. Are they trying to kill us? They're very freaky. And Casper's contribution to this is that while everyone is running away in pretty justifiable terror, he also floats up and he says, don't worry, everyone. You don't have to be afraid. It's me, Casper. As if someone's going to be like, oh, my bad, dog.
Oh, fuck. Actually, oh, I'm sorry. Good.
I was getting worked up over nothing. Casper is not helping. At least in other movies, like, it seemed like he understood what people were being afraid of. But this movie, like, the guy who wrote it, I think his name is Jim Magan. He was like a staff writer for a bunch of, like, Disney afternoon, like, Saturday morning cartoons. I think he did I want to say like a lot of like DuckTales and like Chippendale Rescue Rangers, stuff like that. I don't know why this movie feels like, maybe this is not a worthwhile critique to point out. We are talking about Casper Meets Wendy. We are talking about like a videotape for 5-year-olds, but like this does feel like uniquely weird and stilted and first drafty with all of the dialogue. Yeah. Like it was giving me flashbacks to like when I worked at like an after school program for middle schoolers, and I would be like, this is a very talented middle schooler with these jokes and this dialogue. Yeah. Except with this, I was like, Jim Magan should not have let his very talented middle school daughter write this movie. She fucked up. Sally Magan fucking blew it. Sally Magan needs to go in the portal. Sorry, go ahead.
That's what sucks about it, is because like conceptually, like I think it's so solid, and like if it had just committed more to either to like being like really really outwardly like camp and like just leaning fully into the comedy, and then it felt like other times it was taking itself so seriously, and like thinking of like even just like the witches' costumes, like they were like legit as fuck, like consistently throughout, like even in the dance scene, like when, you know, they get all dressed up, like they were really like A1, like gorgeous, and I was mm-hmm. like, you don't look dumb, so I don't know how much I should be laughing, but I know you want me to laugh because you're saying these things that's technically speaking are jokes
because you're farting at a scoreboard. Yeah. I wish we could be friends. It's so sad that you're a ghost and my aunts don't understand.
I definitely think that this movie, out of the franchise so far, is the most camp that we've seen. Like, it's very outlandish, yeah. And it is, like, very kooky compared to the other ones. Like, I was fine and loved the level of camp. I think it's just, like, this movie really lacked a real plot. The movie starts with we're all on vacation. So we're like on a holiday.
But they're not on a holiday. Okay? You know where they are? They're in hiding.
Well, they are, but it starts with the ghosts on vacation. So the vibes are already like, do we need to make this movie? And then like, yeah, the ghosts are on vacation, and then like they're in hiding. So then they meet up that way, and was it the Catskills? I literally don't remember. Like that was literally where they were, or are you just?
I think Dixon just said that. Catskills.
I wish
Catskills. I'm dumb.
No, you're not, throw darling. Me a lifeline. It's a place in New York where upstate. Rich people like
have boats.
Really used to go so hard in the 50s, yeah. And that's where everyone's summer homes were if they lived in the city.
It's a New York thing. Mm-hmm. Sorry, it's called bottled water. It's a Brooklyn thing. You wouldn't understand. Sorry, it's called jacking off. It's a Brooklyn thing. You wouldn't understand.
It's something rich people did in the 50s.
It was illegal for everyone else. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's fine. Overall, I feel like, and I don't know if I've gotten, I feel like I've said this, but I want to know what everybody's general take of the movie is, because I've heard, like, various feelings. Like, I wish this movie had a bit more of a plot. I do love, like, the Abyss stuff. Like, that's kind of fun, although it does feel, like, way more B-plot than, like, getting the ghost relative and witch relatives together, which I wish was swapped. Like, I wish that it was way more important, Abyss and then Uncle Witches. But I enjoyed watching this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I really think Hilary Duff was truly darling in this. I think she really showed up and was, like, so excited to work. This was her first job. She was so, she could not, you know, she was just, like, so happy to be there. And, like, and I know that just from listening to an interview, like, she was just talking about how, like, she just did everything that was asked of her because she was just so eager and, like, new and didn't understand the lingo, like, completely immersed. And so I just, like, love knowing that, watching this. It's, like, very touching to me to watch. PJ, what happened? I'm not trying to do that.
I'm being so rude. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
She really brought her A game to this movie because she She was just a very happy little 5-year-old, and they would throw her a Kraft single every time she got a take right.
I don't think she would like Kraft singles. I think she would like a different type of snack.
I'm so sorry.
You heard from the source. I stepped on
something here.
What do you think Hillary Duff's favorite snack when she was 9 was?
Clementines.
Actually, yeah.
Confirmed.
Am I back on the good side of the line here?
She really liked Red Gatorade, but they asked her to stop drinking it for filming because it was staining her teeth.
Not okay, not okay. She's just trying to match the fit.
She kept sweating red every time she went hard.
That same actor saw her drinking Red Gatorade and threw her into the pool too.
But anyway, she's great is my point. I loved her in it. I think she's like exactly what this like crappy little film needed to elevate it, because she gave so much heart with each of those fake laughs.
General thought, it's really hard to parse how I feel about this movie, honestly, because Casper's spirited beginning, it was full tilt, like, yes! Yes! Make it worse! Yes! This one, it's just really, like, hypnotic. There's something about this movie, like, in the quality of performance and writing and structure that really isn't like anything else I've seen. We were talking earlier about like, what all is going on in this movie's narrative. And something I think about it is that no aspect of it is really, like, cliched. It is like,
that's true, isn't it?
For the third like direct to video entry in like a flagging kids franchise, it's remarkably devoid of like narrative beats that you would see in like you know late entry kids franchises. It's really strange scenes and strange ideas, mostly not executed that well, but by an incredibly game and overqualified cast. It's,
yes,
there's something so weird and singular about it. I don't think I'm quite as hype as I was coming out of Casper, A Spirited Beginning, but it definitely made me feel something. I can't quite figure out what that feeling is, but like it generated some kind of emotion.
Oh my god, you totally nailed, I think, what I love about it. You know, in this movie, like, they make the sky pink a lot. Like there's a lot.
When Desmond's spell,
and, like, the clouds.
Screaming at the sky.
The clouds are moving so quickly, but that's how the whole movie feels. Like, it feels, like, very, like I said, it feels like a little mushroom trip. Like, it's so bizarre. Everything about it is, like, completely inexplicable.
Oh, yeah, and that's the scene where he's creating the Italians.
Oh, which we gotta talk about them.
What the fuck are they? Yeah.
They're brilliant improvisers and performers. They talk about, they're literally, the director pitches a subject or a noun to them right before they start rolling every time.
The one of the witches was, like, stuttering, and he was like, I'm not a speech therapist. I lost my mind.
That's so catty.
Well, one of them is played by the great Vincent Chiavelli, R.I.P. Right. And he and their names are Jules and Vincent, which, like, that's annoying, but also a little cute. And yeah, I don't know. There's something about their relationship where they're always like bickering about, yeah, Becky, like you said, improv subjects. Like, yeah, the director just called out potato, and they have a genuinely like fun little riff about.
They were like, the tomato is a berry.
No, but, and I read a fun fact that one of the things he was talking about making, like, I forget, it was one of the first scenes. But he was talking about cooking some Italian dish, and he was, like, talking about how you make it, and that's one of his favorites, okay? He really likes to make that, okay? So that was actually real. So there's actually a lot of this movie that actually is real.
That also, they were my one like genuine laugh, like not at the movie's expense, when they when it cuts to them playing rock paper scissors and one of them goes ha, rock crushes paper, and the other one goes no, rock crushes scissors, and the first guy goes, when did they change the rules?
And he was like, it's always been like that, bozo, or something.
It is very weird that, like, the guy who wrote this, like, saw Pulp Fiction and was like, you know what Casper meets Wendy needs a little bit of? Is contract killers in suits making small talk about food and what it's called in other countries.
I loved it. And it's like, it's literally felt like those two guys were like, I got this gig. I'm going to make this fun for myself. Like, one of the other lines I loved was he was like, it just, like, cut to them and they were walking and they were, like, definitely not the main part of the scene. But you just hear one of them go, I don't need a TV. I got pictures in the brain. It's like, who was asking why do you have TV? And then I also loved when Desmond had this completely unbelievable reaction to their tomato is a berry conversation. He was like, shut up to you two or I'll turn you both back into a couple of milkshakes. Ha 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 ha. You're just like, huh? Like, I feel like that's an overreaction and a weird conclusion.
What does that mean? That is not what I think a milkshake would be.
It's really, I mean, it's one of the things, it's really unclear what witches and ghosts can do. Like, Spellman is a witch. He walks outside, the sky changes color and goes into fast motion, and he summons these two things that for a second look like if a child tried to draw the alien at the end of fucking
Close, what is that movie? Hours?
No,
E.T.
Oh, it Signs? Is killing me. I love this movie. Why can't I remember what the fuck it's called? Natalie Portman.
Yep.
Star Wars The Phantom Menace.
Oh, the one at
Jackie.
Alien at the end of Jackie. Wow.
Honestly, there probably was
the one with the cool forest.
Yeah.
Fuck, what is that called?
Annihilation.
Yes, 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 yes.
Annihilation, like the books?
Yeah, there's, anyway, since I fucking nailed the delivery of that joke, wouldn't it be funny? It's sort of like if this thing was like this other thing.
You win the pod.
You win the riff.
Somebody bursts down my door and hands me an award that just says comedy. Most comedy goes to Dixon.
Funniest ram on campus.
Yes.
I don't think it's come up on the podcast before that I am the funniest ram on campus.
I was scared to say it, but I had to. I couldn't help it.
Jenna, do you want to fill the listener in on kind of the weight of, like, the throne of being the funniest ram on campus? Like, the weight of the horns, you know what I mean?
There is a theater called the Hodges Theater in Richmond, Virginia. It is a thrust stage, meaning you are thrust into the audience. And every performance you experience there is absolutely mind-numbingly incredible, and you just feel so a part of it. And Dixon was fortunate enough to perform amongst other young comedians. However, the other young comedians sucked.
Careful.
And Dixon was better than all of them. And he didn't even have to hurt any of them to get the award. They just gave it to him.
Nobody remembers the runner-up, huh?
Something tells me maybe it was you, Becky.
Yeah. Oh, man. It must have really sucked to be so close to that $50. And then the responsibility of hosting a bad sketch show the next week.
Yeah, and I just not being able to dodge, like, a weird compliment and bully comment, like, at every party constantly. For the rest of time. Yeah, I wish I got to have that.
They'll, like, Rams follow you mail? Onto a podcast. What?
I'm sorry, I have to clarify.
What?
lambs are males.
That yeah, what? That's why Dixon got picked.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't so like your line of questioning. What's the female
version of a ram? Because Becky, you can win that award, babe.
You don't think that funny women can be rams? Got it. Very fucking cool, Jenna.
When I grow up, I want to be a male ram.
I think we just changed Jenna's life. I think Jenna's gonna move to West Virginia.
Go.
Is that where you think rams are, Becky?
That's my best guess.
That y'all is... ever seen one?
No.
No. Jenna got us there. You fucking got them.
I feel so played that they're not in West Virginia.
I mean, they might be, but I don't think that's like...
I feel completely, just like completely played by...
I think sheep are female rams.
What are you talking about? What are you saying?
They're like the same, right? And except the rams have the big things on their friggin' forehead.
Wait, are rams like a are they like a species or are they just like it can happen to a sheep?
It's like cows and bulls.
No.
That's not
no.
Cow bull different boys.
Wait, but ram
cow bull different boys.
Cows and bulls are different boys.
We know gender isn't real, but we also are confused about what's going on with animals right now.
Jenda Cranack.
Hey, no, this is so fucked. I just searched rams animal on Google and what came up was sheep animal.
Oh, fuck.
Rams are male sheep.
Dude, okay.
I have to go.
Okay.
I have to go.
I'm sorry. I was just gaslit.
Oh, God. I'm toast. Right? I'm fucking busted.
Fucking right. Rams are male sheep.
Jenna just invented rams right now.
Becky, do you know what this means?
That
you are the funniest sheep on campus.
And I'm applying for my I'm applying for my PhD, and I'm going to be Dr. Scranger. Separate Dixon, the words. Separate the words.
Doctress.
Dixon, can you Google real quick if there are boy cats or girl dogs? Because I just got my shit rocked.
Jenna brings up an incredible point that we always assumed was something else. And then Jenna said, let's actually investigate and learn something new. So that's why we had Jenna on the pod, because like you think you know something about, and you don't know.
You don't.
What about, now I'm suspicious about bulls and cows.
But I have to tell you this.
You could say and. You don't have to say but. No.
because we're going back. We're going back 30 to 40 seconds because I know it's not relevant anymore, but I haven't let go. You remember the very first sheep that they ever cloned?
Yeah.
I saw her.
What? What at like on like 35th? Like where did you
when I was in Scotland at the University of Edinburgh, they have her in like a library there in like a glass case.
And you were like,
she's dead.
And you're like, ma'am.
She's a clone. She's the first successful clone and I saw her.
That's unbelievable.
She's a ghost.
Yeah. Like what do you feel like that did for you to see her?
Well, it really made me think because they talked a lot about that sheep in Catholic school because they constantly were making us, well, they love to talk to us about like morality in the sense of like abortion and also like euthanasia, which fun fact, I thought it was like youth in Asia, like young people in Asia. It's not. Figured that out. But But yeah, and then they like got us into the morality question of like, is it okay to like clone people? Is like, did God, is God okay with cloning? And so we studied the sheep a lot. And then I saw the sheep and I was like, I think God is okay with cloning.
He was like, that's when you knew.
I was like, he loves this.
I know for a fact God is pro cloning.
I was like, I can tell. She just seemed like she had a good life.
Yeah. That means so much. And honestly, it helps me understand why this movie means so much to you.
Anyway.
So what's everyone's favorite stinky moment? Mine's when his breath was bad and some people smelled it.
I like when they ate the food. Whenever they have food in this movie, it was really cool.
Do you remember that moment where Casper is bringing them food and they eat too much of it, so yeah. He starves again? There was a moment in the 95 movie where Casper carries them all a big plate of their like breakfast pudding and Twinkies, and it was supposedly like actually kind of like a groundbreaking like special effects moment to get all of the textures on the fake food right. And I was just grinning ear to ear, just chomping through my little weed pen like it was a fucking cigar and I'm a baseball announcer when I saw this movie where the food that they're carrying around, it's a fucking JPEG of a plate of fruit. It's just kind of like drag and dropping around the frame. I loved it.
I think it's charming.
Yeah.
I think it's charming too. I think it's, you know, little ghost boys never bring me JPEGs of food. So it was kind of like a wish fulfillment kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Like a kind of like a gender euphoria thing. You know what I mean?
Like if that could happen, then you'd feel like, I know my gender.
Yeah, exactly. Men never treat me like I deserve to be brought a JPEG of food.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
I think I would do it if I knew how.
That's really sweet.
It's the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me on this podcast. I'm actually very, I'm verklempt.
John, do you feel, sorry, I call Jenna John. I don't think anyone.
Yeah, we probably should have acknowledged that. You've called me Jay, you've called me John. Literally none of my names.
I don't like to say Jenna because I have like 18 nicknames I have to use in equal rotation, but John is the main one that I use.
It's because of John Cena.
Yeah. yeah.
Star of Blockers.
Sorry?
You stop that.
Yeah, his breaking, his breakout role in Blockers.
You can't tell me he's not in that.
I'm that not is, gonna that say is, it. I'm not
you got
gonna
me there.
It.
You should. Everyone reacted like I said God is real.
kind of a sheep ram moment happening for me here.
This has been a spiritual experience.
A spirited beginning.
I just need to know, like, John, when I was watching this movie, I said to myself, John needs to have every one of her outfits. You need the big red onesie with the pant legs and the hood, the mm-hmm. overalls and the bucket mm-hmm. hat. Like, and I'm not even being, like, cute. Genuinely, it's your style. Like, I want you to own all those things.
Well, it's funny you said that because I have this amazing like velvet bucket hat of my mom's from the 90s.
Perfect.
I did just shoot something. I don't know if I probably shouldn't say what it is, but this girl had a Wendy costume and I was like, fuck, it looks so cool. Like in person, she had like the it was like very well fitted in custom. I was like, this is sick.
That's so
and,
cool.
I really love her little red overalls, yes! too.
With the matching bucket. It's so good.
Yeah. And I thought about, yes, I thought about wearing something like that tonight, but all of my shit is in storage because I'm moving.
Totally fair. Like,
but
I understand.
But yeah, pretty much I would say I live my life. Like, I look at something, I'm like, would Hilary Duff before the year 2007 wear this? And if the answer is yes, I purchase it.
Yeah. I think that that's a really good way to live life.
Everyone's going to come out. Every listener's going to come out of this with a pretty deep understanding of Jess.
And not the movie. They get the movie.
They can watch the fucking movie.
They get the movie. It's on YouTube. It's free on YouTube. And it's the, you know, it's in, I feel like this is more like 320p. Like, it's not as
absolutely. It's really like the IMAX, like, Blu-ray presentation of, like, Casper movies on YouTube. We're breathing rarefied air here.
Special effects were a little better, no?
No.
A little than the last movie, like, a little bit.
No.
I think they were.
No.
I have a question for PJ.
Wait, They were
Did you like the soundtrack? I know that you're big into listening to, like, movie scores and stuff.
No. Wrong. Okay. So this is I'm actually feeling gender euphoria that you know that about me and that you called it out on the pod. I was wondering why the music in this sounded like a little like above the pay grade. It's this guy named like Udi Harpaz who I guess he did like a lot of like children's TV and like video games. The reason his shit sounds so familiar to me, to other people who like watched more anime than I did, they would know him because he scored Digimon. I know him because he did Spider-Man the Animated. Oh, did you?
Yeah.
It sounds like you were actually kind of a big Saban kid. Like, you were actually, like, kind of, like, in the pocket for, like, the sort of, like, Fox Family Channel, like, zone of stuff that was, that this is kind of, like, in the toy chest with. But, like, yeah, he did the Spider-Man the Animated Series score, and I just kept thinking, like, every time I would hear, like, a big string section or, like, a real oboe, I would be like, why is this the expensive-seeming part of this movie? Like,
I really liked it. Like, I felt like it kind of, it was, like, playful enough.
Yeah.
But there was this kind of, like, mystery to it.
Yeah.
And it felt like it kept things, like, moving forward in a really fun way in the moments that they used it. And, like, the times that they used songs, was it ridiculous? Absolutely. I loved it. When they have the whole sequence where, like, homegirl, like, she has the earbud in her ear and then like the earbud with Casper but no one can see him and she's like listening to her CDs and
it's like a different beat.
Yeah, it was I thought it was like super adorable and charming and I just love any like sequence that shows the passage of time and has a cute little song playing. I'm a sucker for it.
Montages are out of
they're
this
vital
world.
I don't even care if they're good. I don't care if they make sense. I don't care what happens. Just give me a fucking montage.
Show me time passing. Show me merriment.
That's genuinely when I signed on to being a fan of this movie was the montage.
Yeah,
I was like,
me too.
Those two kids are having a fucking blast. And it's literally because they were like, you want Hank? Like, it was so easy to become BFFs. I loved it.
Did they meet where... Fuck, I'm trying to picture where they met. Why were they surrounded by a lot of hay?
They were in a barn, right?
And I love that because there's absolutely no reason that needed to happen.
I'm pretty sure, like, 100%.
They're like, okay, the movie is called Casper Meets Wendy. Where will it happen?
A farm. Get them on the farm.
In West Virginia with the Rams.
I want to say something really quick. Becky, I feel like I hope I wasn't being like horribly rude to you about the special effects.
Oh no, I love that you feel that way. I just disagree. I feel like they're a hair better. In the last one, they literally like moved like this. In this one, they like do this. The listeners will get that.
You like when the Santa danced, though, right?
I forgot about the fucking Santa. There's a Santa in the barn that they make dance.
Of course there's a Santa in the barn.
Where else would they put him?
Where do you keep your Santa? In the barn with your rams.
That like it was a line in Devil Wears Prada.
Of course there's a Santa in the barn.
And I suddenly feel underdressed. I don't have a barn, so I don't have a Santa.
Yes, he's real, and he lives in the barn.
Can we take a break? Can we take five? I'm dying.
100%.
3, 2, 1.
My clap was weak. I'm gonna be real. You're gonna fucking be. I'm humiliated.
Like it? Your clap was great, Jenna.
I felt like it was kind of faster than yours. Becky's.
Watch this.
Becky Trash Clap Granger fucking it up again.
Dude, I love Becky, but she's like so bad at clapping, and it's kind of starting to.
It's really making us look bad.
I've stopped inviting her to shows because, like, she does not know what to do at the end of them. It makes everyone feel so weird.
She simply does not.
Guys, you left your audio on.
Oh fuck.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
How do you mean?
You just don't even know you're caught.
Oh, that was a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, you really yes-anded me there, John.
I thought that was like a logistical. It was like, oh, hey, we have to fix this. Fuck me.
No, it's just you sort of just like undercutting my genius.
Yeah, geez, Jenna, really ground the Becky Claps bad riff to a halt. There was hours more of material.
It was a gold mine.
We can explore it later.
Yeah, let's go back to it. Let's put a pin in this and come back to it.
Just circling back.
Let's put a pin in the joke that Becky claps bad. Everybody think about it for a while. Come back to me at 5 with solutions.
I'm going to have some good shit by then, and I'll probably be good at it by then. So
gloves.
No.
The answer? Anyway... You know, Jay, you have to come back. You have to come back.
You need to be the fourth co-host forever now.
I live here.
He said from where? You have to come back on the pod, dummy.
I didn't understand what you were saying when he said that. I was like, I'm in Brooklyn with you right now.
You gotta come home. Is this going to be fun to listen to, or is this only fun for me to have gone through?
Casper meets Wendy is...
in a barn.
Firstly, the entire film set in a West Virginia barn.
For a bunch of people who were trying not to do magic, they did a lot of magic.
They really did. They turned that woman into a goat.
Oh my god, not a goat.
Oh my god, a goat.
Wait, are goats women?
I'm so scared.
You know, goats are women, lizards are boys.
Honestly, I don't like goats. I'll say it. Their eyes
are
so crazy.
Get their ass.
I hope they fucking hear this. And I will say it again and again. I think your eyes are so spooky weird. They look like they belong on a lizard, but they're on you, a goat.
Podcast guest destroys entitled goats.
That's so fucked because, like, goats support goats, and I don't know, like, how. Goats are women.
Goat boss.
We didn't invite you on this show so that you could tear down other successful, beautiful goats. Why are we always pitting farm animals against each other? Okay, Mark Zuckerberg, go off. Invent the face mash. Fuck you.
No, John has a point. The pupils are rectangle, and I gotta say,
Well, then who do you want to be in the barn when Casper meets Wendy? A ram?
No, it's not a safe energy. I'll probably tell Wendy to smile. We have
Did they ever turn that lady back into a lady?
No.
Okay. And then still she a lady. Tells She's she a tells goat. She tells Desmond Spellman where the witches are. She goes, you know how they sound like goats to me. They're not the ones that say bah, right? That's definitely
You're making me question everything I knew about animals.
Oh no, goats, fuck, stop letting me talk about anything. They scream.
That's true.
That's goats. That is so goats.
That's goat goats. Energy.
That's goats.
That's goats.
It's giving goats.
So the magic. They did that with the magic. They redecorated. And they kept saying, Hillary, don't do any magic. But then they got to keep doing it. But I feel like if she hung out of the pool, it really wouldn't have been that bad.
They were being so, you know, really pick and choose with their rules there. She would have been fine at the pool. It makes no difference.
Do we feel like maybe they were projecting? Like, they maybe don't feel as, like, powerful and, like, youthful as they once were, and they're taking it out on her in a way? And they don't really, like, come to her defense and really try to empower her until they realize that she is in real danger.
It's kind of like when you meet that person at the bar who's like, you gotta stop drinking so much. You know what I mean?
Absolutely know that moment.
Now you don't.
I retract what I said. I guess. Tell me you haven't been to Mary's in Atlanta, Georgia, without telling me you haven't been to Mary's in Atlanta, Georgia.
Do you have any witches there?
Literally, it's a gay bar. It's a gay bar. So yes.
Yeah, any uncles at Mary's? I'm trying to go out meet a new uncle tonight. Should we go to Mary's?
Are uncles men?
Stop it.
Look it up. I bet you think you know.
Why do the ghost men hate the witch ladies?
That'll be our summary for the episode on Apple Podcasts.
Oh my god.
Why do the ghost uncles hate the witch ladies?
We actually don't know. Like, they don't even explain ever. I think they could have gone into some stuff. Like, I think we deserve some, like, flashbacks to, like, the Salem witch trials. I just think I'm going to remake this movie and I'm going to do it right.
We needed some underworld-esque.
I saw Goody Proctor with the devil.
They're the cause.
No, but really, this is a witch hunt.
Yeah.
They are trying to kill witches because they're too powerful.
Isn't Spellman a witch too?
He's I would consider him a warlock. But we don't even actually know what he's done with his powers. He just is like at his like fancy house, but like.
Yeah, maybe he's like a philanthropist. Maybe he's like a really cool dude who's just self-conscious about one thing.
He's the Christian Grey of kind of the magic world.
I feel like we could say he's not a cool dude. He tries to throw a little girl into hell. Like, I feel like he could be
one cool. Time. He does that one time. Cancel culture is out of control.
He's doing fine. He just wrote a new book, okay? He's a guest on Shark Tank. He's doing fine.
I thought it was so fucked that Desmond Spellman surprise opened for John Mulaney.
I feel like the way they directed this, they wanted me to look at that man, that actor, and be like, oh, it's that guy that I love. Like, I feel like they really, they were like, people are going to love that he's playing Desmond Spellman. The mom, like, do you know what I'm saying?
He's Desmond Spellman? Him? Yeah, it's George Hamilton, who is, like, a quintessential, like, that guy actor. I feel like he was on, like, I think he's in, like, a Godfather movie. I feel like he was on, like, Dynasty or something like that. I saw this when I was, like, however old, too. So I've spent my whole life knowing him as the child thrower from Casper Meets Wendy. Like, anytime he was in, like, those Toasted Ritz commercials, I was like, ooh, hope there's not a powerful little girl around. Because she's...
He stole her little
That bitch
snacks.
Is getting portaled.
He's in a movie called Zorro.
The Gay Blade, yes!
Is that Zorro's, like, fun little subtitle, The Gay Blade?
It's like a weird, like... gay parody B movie parody of Zorro. That's the movie, weirdly, that's the movie that Bruce Wayne's parents go to see in Joker. George Hamilton created Batman, actually.
So did I.
Easy. It's fucking some. Look it up.
Whatever.
Jenna making they movies wait, is women.
Is Batman women?
Jenna, at the end of every episode recently, I like to trawl through some, like, Rotten Tomatoes and IMDb user reviews, and these ones come to us from IMDb. 10 out of 10. Why do so many people downgrade movies like this? At first, when I put the movie on the TV, I wasn't impressed about it, as it wasn't really my type of film. But as soon as it came on, I was instantly captured by its charm and feeling. When you see the witches, you just so want to have their powers, so when someone just gets at you, you could just simply zap them into or where to you liked.
Tell it like it is.
It ends there?
There's a little bit more, but I was going to skip.
That's what was important.
Oh, wait, no, there is. Thank you for saying something, because there is a bit at the end. While Desmond Spellman puts that on ice while he tries to get rid of Wendy. I really liked his harsh character, but his mirror on the wall that could speak really didn't need to be in the film. It is better off without it.
Wrong.
How else would he have gotten his information?
Literally homophobic. That's so fucked up.
And then we have a 1 out of 10. Worst piece of tripe ever made. I saw this piece of shit last November, and I've never turned the television off in such disgust. Hilary Duff was absolutely horrendous as the good little witch. The film is gross, even for television. The film could have been cut to 1 hour, but not 1.5 hours.
Doug Walker, the nostalgia critic, has an IMDb account, and he is going off. Did I say IMDb wrong?
You yes. said it different.
I said it different.
I can't believe somebody's pissed off.
This is the worst tripe I've ever seen. Quote unquote, I prefer.
Good? He's like, I know good witches, and she is not one.
10 out of 10. This one is my favorite, and I think it echoes how we all feel. This is all the headline, by the way. I'll tell you when we switch to the body. It was a good movie. That one's my favorite childhood movie because Casper and Stinky are my favorite characters because Bill Famer was in this movie. So that's the headline.
True.
The whole body of the review is, my line from Stinky is, let's get him. My line from Casper is, wait, no, but I listen.
I'm sorry.
Those are his lines!
They couldn't have given me less information.
PJ, that's like when, like, that's like when your friend would say, that's my,
when
my best movie.
Oh, wait. We've never done this on the pod before. I had this roommate who had this bit that would just, like, undo me. Shout out to Tyler, the Buckhead Shaman. He would be like, hey, have you ever seen Transformers? That's one of my best Shia LaBeouf movies. And I'd be like, you mean... You mean your best Shia LaBeouf? Don't you mean your favorite Shia LaBeouf movies? And then he'd look over at me real slow and he'd go, whatever. Yeah, whatever.
Is this real?
Yes.
Is this to be funny or to be real?
I'm being authentic with you and you're shutting me down. Real Desmond Spellman over here. Jenna Krainak portaled me on the fucking podcast
I would never destroy a young Hillary Duff. I would empower her even.
I would make her stronger. If I was in this movie, I would make Hillary Duff much stronger than she was.
She was really strong. She kept standing up to everyone.
Who are you? Who are you?
She says everything like this, okay? And you know what? You have to listen to her because she means it.
Zap, new outfit, all red.
All right.
Oh, God.
I'll tell you, my line from Stinky is, thanks so much for being on the pod.
Yeah, John, this has been, like, my face legitimately is sore from laughing so much. Thank you so much for being on. This has been a true joy.
You're welcome. It's fun. You can call me Boo, James Boo.
Is there anything that you want to plug before we go?
Oh, I mean, I'll be on TV at some point.
True.
And you'll see it, and it'll be in a Pretty Little Liars. I might do some stand-up shows. We don't know when.
Oh, yes.
But no, the stuff that I have going on, I have to wait to go on. So just support me and be nice to me and my friends and be nice to every ram you see.
Some of them might be pretty funny.
Some of them are almost pretty funny.
And those are sheep.
Dead Horse is Dixon, Becky, and PJ. If you want to find us on social media, follow us on Instagram at Dead Horse Podcast. We want to thank Max Huffman for our podcast art. You can check out his stuff at maxhuffman.com and order his book, Cover Not Final. Opening music was Descent into Lazarus by the late, great James Horner. And the closing music here is Ghosts 14-2 by my close personal friend, Mr. Nine Inch Nails. Please rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Really does help. And I hope... I hope. Trying to hope more.